enjoy a good squeeze.
Hi.
Howdy.
I'm Margo.
I'm August.
I forgot our intro, and this is a good squeeze.
The show where we, how do you say it now? We squeeze something until we make James Bond out of it.
Nice.
Or something like that.
Squeeze a little James Bond into our everyday life.
That's right. And, you know, when we first were discussing even putting out this show all those years ago, it was all about introducing Margo to the world of James Bond and, mm-hmm. and the film. So we decided to let's check in. Let's do a road so far. And that might be a series we revisit from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how are we liking things? How are we ranking this and that? And whether it's going to be gadgets, openings, villains. But today, we'll just do the big old granddaddy. And mm-hmm. as so far, your favorite Bond movies. And I'll do the same on my end. But this is mostly just a check-in. See how you're doing.
Yeah. Road so far, trademark a good squeeze, not Supernatural. We invented this. They took it. Yeah, so road so far, Bond films. What can you tell us about the road so far other than the ranking? How are you feeling?
About
the movies that we have seen.
Right.
What we've chosen.
Of course.
Just checking.
How about the ones we haven't seen or done
yet? I mean,
yet?
Like, road so far only relating to the movies, not the themes, not the travel, not the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I quit.
We've done...
Just kidding.
We've done 13 movies so far here on the show,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, about halfway there, a little over. And, you know, we've always said we do these by feeling, not in order, not by, like, we're going to only do, like, a particular actor. We go by, what are you feeling this time? Or you ask me, like, what are you feeling? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you know, let's do a Roger Moore tonight. Or, you know, how about a Pierce Brosnan?
It is a little tricky, though, because it's not like they each have 5 movies, so we can alternate evenly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm finding that we have not done a whole lot of Pierces.
No, we've only done one.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Pierce Brosnans left compared to the others.
There's 4 total, so there's three more.
3 more than we have to do for the other Bond portrayals.
Sure.
So that's alarming. All right, that's a problem.
It's not. That's good news. That means yeah. we can stretch the show even longer.
Yank it.
We can make this go forever if we choose.
But yeah. So how do you feel we've done in terms of the medley that we've created, the mess we've made?
You know, I think we've done pretty good. Getting a little flavor. We've touched every Bond actor at least once.
Yes, we have.
And you know, we've hit some highs, hit some lows. As far as, you know, how you felt about some of them, how I felt about some of them, and everything in between. So yeah, I just wanted to see, because I'm even curious. I don't know your, we'll say, ranking, and we're not going to rank all 13 that we've done today. Today we're only looking at our top 5 favorite Bond films that we've covered on the show so far.
So far. Road so far.
And also to ask you a question right out the gate. When you are looking at the 13 we've done and you are deciding your top 5, how are you going about it? What's your criteria for what makes, like, your top 5 favorite Bonds?
That's a great question. The metric is, do I remember the plot? And of the plot I remember, do I like it? And do I remember liking it? So it's like a 1, 2, 3. So, you know, if there are some that I don't remember the plot very well, but I remember really disliking them, so they're gonna stay there.
Okay.
And if we revisit them and I like them, it's fine. People change. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much the 1, 2, 3. What about you?
Yeah, that's something I've, you know, we always say that when we're asking each other or other people, mm-hmm. like, what's your favorite of this or that, and you can change your mind tomorrow. That's what we always say.
You started that. Take credit.
Nothing,
you've earned it.
Nothing's set in stone. Doesn't have to be if you don't want it to be. Yeah. But for me, For my top five today, I looked at it as movies that Bond movies that are more me. So not necessarily quality, although that does play a factor. But, you know, you might not see, like, you know, some of the best made or the most classic quintessential Bond films in my top five. I do love them. And it's like almost like I make all these tinier rankings. So for today, I'm looking at the ones that are more me, more nostalgic, movies I have more of a connection to beyond just enjoying them for as a movie. You know, it's more memory based, feeling based. Is it cozy? Things like that.
It's gotta be cozy.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not for August.
But with that being said,
yeah.
I am curious. My wife, Margot. Hey, that's you.
Huh.
What's your number five? Five most favorite Bond movie.
I was telling you in the car, you're like, are you ready for this? And I was like, yeah, I could do this. I can go 1, 2, 5, but I guess 1 would be the surprise, right?
1's your favorite. We're going 5.
Yeah. I can't do 1. The inverse. Okay. 5 as in my least favorite out of all of them.
No.
Yes.
There's 13.
Yeah. So I have to strategically be like, all right, who gets spots? Or do I just do top 5 favorite out of all of them?
Yes.
Oh, I can't do. Can 5 be my least favorite of all? And then 4 is like my kind of in the middle.
That's so confusing.
And then 2 is like, you know, which one of them am I kind of neutral? Like all of them, all the numbers have a feeling. 5 is I hate you. 4 is like, I don't want you around anymore. 3 is like, I have no opinion, truly. 2 is like, I really enjoyed that. And 1 is, I loved it.
I don't want that.
Okay, fine.
if you do that, here, then okay, you gotta do all 13 of them.
Let me just circle the ones I like then. Okay.
Do you want me to go first?
Well, it's one that, hold on, just give me, tell me about your day. No, I'm joking. I can do this. There is a miscommunication. I just didn't tell you what I was thinking.
You just changed the rules.
I changed the rules and I made them my own.
I said, I said to you earlier, I was like, we've done 13. Pick your top 5 favorites.
Oh.
And you said, okay. And okay. Now you're like, I thought 5 was the worst and 3rd is how I'm feeling on the hour. And what the hell?
And 4 is what I was wearing that day. And oh, well, cool. I did it. Okay. For those of you who aren't watching, I'm holding a notepad and it's a corn notepad. And I'm going to leave that up to your imagination. And that's that.
Corn, you said?
And the corn is written, the movies.
Like corn on the cob?
Like corn on the cob. Or in a leaf. Like I said,
imagine. A husk.
It's to your imagination. All right. We're going to kick it off with my number 5.
Is this your true number 5?
My true number 5. Yes. Goldfinger.
Okay.
It's good. That's all I really have to say about it. I don't remember too much, but I remember enough that it was like, it's a Bond, it's like the Bond movie, you know, it's,
yes.
All the movies that have parodied it helped me remember it in moments. Now, if you ask me what the plot is, that'll be tricky, but to describe moments, I can. And those moments that I remember that make the culmination of this movie, I thoroughly enjoyed. So that's my 5.
Goldfinger's trying to radiate the world's gold population the gold reserve at Fort Knox, so it'll raise the stock of his personal gold supply.
Like what I did with the cigarettes. I burned all the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Anyways,
and it's a classic. You know, you got Pussy Galore, you got Odd Job, and you got
when she's like on the bed all golden.
Who's that?
I don't know her name, but she's there.
Jill? Jill Masterson.
Jill. I like his terry cloth onesie. I know it's not called a onesie, but romper.
Romper.
That'd be funny if he was in like footsie pajamas.
Hey, that'd be something. Yeah. Terry cloth, footsie pajamas.
He'd like them.
I'd like them.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
All right. Huh, you're welcome.
Make one for me.
Yeah. So Goldfinger at number 5.
Okay.
At number 4, You Only Live Twice.
you.
I really like the song. I faintly remember the plot, but I really remember the beginning and really liking it. I like when he goes down the slide and then he goes bloop, and he falls right into the chair. It could save your life, this cigarette or something like that. I thought that was cool. And it's Japan, you know.
Yeah.
It's just really beautiful, and it's got a lovely setting, and there's a feeling about it that I enjoyed. I remember feeling that way. You go back in the episode, and I'm like, I hated this movie. But yeah.
I think that was the case.
People change. I've grown.
You gotta like settle into it. It was one of our first few episodes, and I remember us watching that one, and even afterwards, you were really caught up on how spicy it was.
Yeah, I was a different person back then. You know, I couldn't enjoy something for what it was, and it is spicy. It is spicy, but I'm still a novice, but I'm a seasoned novice, you know.
You got like some salt and pepper on you.
Just some salt and pepper. That's it. No paprika, no nothing.
So with You Only Live Twice, and I'm just trying to gauge your ranking here. Otherwise, you'll just run through them and then the end. Goodbye.
Oh, no, please. give me the green light. I have more to say about the other ones because I remember them better.
so you,
because then I can talk about the ones I didn't choose and why they didn't make the cut.
You'd be like, this one don't remember it. I don't remember this one.
Oh, I'm a sucker. Can I change it?
Which one? Which number?
Five.
It's not number five.
Yeah.
You're kicking Goldfinger out of your top five.
I am. Okay. Redo. Just a quick redo. Number five is You Only Live Twice.
Okay.
Because it's cool. Number four is The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh.
I actually really enjoyed that
one. You're swapping out your gold.
Yes, I am. I really liked it. Knick Knack, Monsieur Scaramanga. Like, it was just very cool. I love the mirror maze thing. That's actually genuinely terrifying to me. I think Scaramanga is a very interesting character. Christopher Lee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a very memorable performance. It was like the first Roger Moore I actually liked.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, Roger Moore ain't bad. The scene with the car, his like helper lady is kind of useless. I remember her helper lady,
the Bond girl.
Was it the Bond girl? Oh yeah, it was like, unmemorable in my opinion.
Mary Goodnight.
Yeah, geez, Hopi. Unmemorable. But you know, there's room for improvement. But that's okay. It's not her fault.
Would you like to coin that term for future Bond girls? The Bond helper lady.
The Bond helper lady.
Sorry. You can put that on a shirt.
That's good, the Bond helper lady. I really did enjoy that movie, and I do remember the plot to a certain extent. I mean, if you were like, what does Scaramanga want to do? I'd be like, I don't know. But
I mean, correct me if I'm...
I remember when they did the Mexican standoff too, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or I guess, what was it? A duel is what you call that.
More of a duel.
It's not a Mexican standoff. No, he doesn't like do that.
Very old school, back to back.
Yes.
10 paces duel. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's the one Roger Moore film you've seen the most.
I've only seen it once.
No? Well, maybe to completion.
What?
You've started it, watched it, like seen it on the screen many times.
I've only seen it once.
I could remind you of other times.
Tell me.
I could remind you of other times.
No, because you don't get final say on this. I know what movies I've seen.
Well, we've done it for the show. We watched a movie and did the whole experience. Yeah. I remember a few times at the old place I was living at before you and I moved in together, you would you'd give me a nice massage and we'd watch Man with the Golden Gun on the telly.
Okay. Was I paying attention?
Yes, because that was the time I remember when you were like, you know what, this one, I actually kind of like this one.
Oh, rats. Okay. And it turns out you do. You do get final say on this.
Well, you still don't remember, apparently.
No, but that's all right. You know, my short-term memory is awful. My long-term memory is great, even though this isn't technically a short-term memory
this
situation.
This is probably like 5-6 years ago.
I'm aging, okay? It's okay. All right, so number five, You Only Live Twice. Number four, The Man with the Golden Gun. Number three, I didn't really say why Man with the Golden... No, I did. It's fine. They're like, move on. Casino Royale.
Okay.
It... I'm glad we watched it a second time. I famously fell asleep the first time we watched it because we started it at like 11 p.m. and then I fell asleep. And something happens to me whenever like I'm already tired and there's violence in a movie. My eyes just get so tired of watching like all the, you know,
bang bang pew pew
and just everything is moving too fast and I'm like trying to keep up and then I, you know, fall asleep. Yeah, it's just a good movie. It's just a really good movie. It stands alone. You don't need any context prior to it. You don't need to know who Bond is. If you had never heard of James Bond and that was your introduction to James Bond, that would be James Bond for you. You wouldn't need any other kind of whatever. It's just a good, it's just a great film.
It is. Yeah.
Daniel Craig is very good. I love the moment where he's like, take your finger off of your ear. Like, that's awesome. Mm. And it was like that moment. I was like, oh, that's cool. He knows what he's doing and he's commanding and he is technically educated and he understands like the
spy
field.
Stuff.
Yeah, he understands the field. That was like such a small detail, you know, like, I don't know. I thought that was really cool. That opening scene is absolutely, I mean, insane with the barrel. And when he turns.
Oh, the black and white pre-title.
Very,
yep.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And then the credits or the opening title sequence, whatever you want to call that. The
song.
Yeah,
and
the
all
song
that.
And mm-hmm. all that. Yeah. Beautifully animated. Very unique, very different. But like.
I guess there's the pre-title sequence. And the title sequence.
And then the movie. Okay. We did it. We broke it down to a science. Yeah, and then just, I mean, the entire movie, the love story, the action, it's all just a very good movie.
And Le Chiffre.
Le Chiffre. That's always my big fun fact, is I'm like, did you know it means the number? And that's not very exciting. And then there's always that insistence where they're like, no, but it has to mean more. And I go, nope. And that's that.
I like the number. It's almost like a Dick Tracy villain name.
Yeah.
Actually, there is one.
Small face, you know.
Little face, yeah.
Little face, yeah.
What is his name? Not letters and numbers. Maybe it is letters and numbers. I don't know.
You know, there's got to be like some French speaker who hears me say that. Like, le chiffre doesn't actually, it means the number and that's it. Who's like, zut alors, it means more than that, you know? And he's like, not happy with me, but I can't hear you. So here we are. All right, coming in at number two, we have GoldenEye.
Bum, 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 bum.
Natalia is truly a gem. The Pierce Brosnan's introduction as Bond, that was his introduction as Bond, mm-hmm. right? Was just seamless. Something very,
very nice.
Yeah, just you can tell he's like.
I was like, what a nice compliment.
Oh, yeah. I'll let him know. Yeah, just there's just so much about that film that is, again, another just great movie. Now, it helps to have the Bond fandom under your belt to appreciate it even further. But, I mean, Sean Bean, the sassy Russian man putting his hand on his hip while pointing the gun, whatever his name is. He's great. Thank you. Just so much about that. I love when we're watching that movie with other people and I just tell you to pause and then I just show everyone, like, look how he's standing. It's great. Yeah, it's the twist at the end, and you know, I mean, spoiler alert, Sean Bean's the bad guy. And,
what? But he dies in the opening scene.
Exactly. Oh. And let me pick my nose real quick now. yeah, again, it's just a really great film. Really cool Bond girl. I think that really is the factor, that the biggest factor that plays into it being so high up on the ranking is she is very useful. The sneaky bad guy of Boris. There's two sneaky bad guys. There's Sean Bean and there's Boris, you know? And both
and,
are...
And Xenia.
Well, Xenia's not sneaky bad guy. You know she's
and,
a bad guy.
And Orimov. Well, you know he's a bad guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying,
what
like, you know what I mean?
Sneaky.
They're sneaky bad guys. Like, they're not sneaking around. Like, they're, you don't see them being bad guys, and then you're like, aha, you are a bad guy. You know, the gadgets are cool. They're not, like, you know, they're fun enough that you can, like, put them in, a, like, a Happy Meal or something. But, like...
Look, Mom, I got a grappling hook belt.
Yeah, it's just, like, a pen. Like,
a grenade pen.
Thank God.
And a laser watch.
Yeah, you know, like, fun. But also, like, you know, I don't know, when he's, like, spinning the pen and, like, clicking it and all that, and you're, like, counting how many clicks. I don't know. It's cool. So it's a good movie. And coming in at number one, do you know what it is? I think we know.
Oh, the living daylights.
Swing and a miss. swinging a hard miss.
Would that have been your number?
Swing the bat and it hits you nuts. That's how bad of a hit that was.
Would that have been your number five in your first game?
If we went by my metric, yes. Yes, it would have been my number five. I was going to talk about it at length.
You can in a moment. But your number one, go ahead.
No, tell me. Guess. Come on, it's more fun.
Well, I know what it is.
Please.
It's, is it A View to a Kill?
It is A View to a Kill. How did you know?
Because you tell me every day.
Oh, okay.
You shake me away and you're like, my favorite's A View to a Kill.
I don't even shake you away. I just whisper it in your ear loudly when you're sleeping.
You're like, wow, what of you?
I want cereal. I threw up. A View to a Kill's my favorite movie. Anyways. And it's funny because I believe there are two Roger Moores in my list.
Isn't that a funny fact, lady?
Funny. Look at that. It's like, I don't like him, but I do like him. I like the movie season. And it sounds like I don't like him. It's, you know, we'll talk about this in another episode.
That could be a whole episode in
yeah,
of itself.
Yeah, just Margot's feelings on Roger. it would be too much. And I don't think people would want to hear that. They've heard it enough.
It would be our most listened to episode.
No,
I'm sure.
It wouldn't be our least listened to episode. And then you'd fire me. And then that would be it. Yeah, you could replace me with a mop. that would do it. All right, so A View to a Kill. Fun, exciting. What can I say other than, what's his face? Well, I guess I can't say much in the first place. Zorin, played by,
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. He was great. The guy not throwing the grenade, but holding on to the, not the grenade, but holding on to the dynamite in the, blimp.
Dr. Glutenspliegen.
Like, yeah, that was great. The fight on the Golden Gate Bridge. James! Every single time she opens her mouth, like, that was, you know. That's fun. Mayday. Mayday. I love Mayday. She's great. Powerful woman. I like powerful women. So, you know, that worked out for me in my favor. Yeah, it was just fun. That's really all there is to it. And it was cozy. And that was the biggest thing. I remember the entire plot. I enjoyed it while watching it. And I still enjoy it now. Oh, sorry. I'm playing with my paper and it's making shh sounds. Yeah, I said that it meets every criteria for why it should be my favorite. And I still think of it fondly. And when we were watching it, I was like, I could watch this again. That's another thing. I was like, I can't. I'm looking forward to watching it again. I'm even looking forward to falling asleep to it, eating hot cocoa, drinking hot cocoa to it. You know, there's the coziness hit me with that movie. That's something I had yet to experience with a Bond film, and that was the first one I experienced that with, and I was like, oh, very nice.
Do you think, well, either that factor or the cozy factor or just your overall feelings for the movie, do you think having lived in San Francisco for such a long time and it's such a focal point of this movie had anything to do with your feelings for A View to a Kill?
Probably, because when we watched it, I was so far removed from San Francisco that it didn't become that like dreadful place I lived in and struggled in, whatever. It was like, oh, we went to I got to show my husband San Francisco, and I look forward to seeing to going back to San Francisco. We watched it, I think, at a perfect point in my life where I missed San Francisco. And for those of you who don't know, I didn't have the best experience there. I was just living there when it was kind of in that downfall where things were a little dirty, things weren't, you know, going too well in the city, to say the least. And so I moved out, and then we came back and visited at the perfect time when everything was clean and, you know, a little bit nicer, to put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I do think that plays a huge factor. But yeah, because the sight of the Golden Gate Bridge used to give me like a pit in my stomach. Like I used to feel that.
Why is that?
Oh, I don't need to get into that.
that's a whole episode in of itself.
Oh, you got to get to know me. Well, you know the answer, but.
But maybe you do talk about it a bit more in detail in our From San Francisco with Love episode.
Oh,
go check that out. And if I'm wrong, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to our episode.
I do think I touch on that. I do. Yeah. So
wink.
So yeah, I'm sure you could find out more about that, I guess. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, it used to give me I used to feel like a pin in my stomach, just the sight of the Golden Gate Bridge. Now that's not the case. And it is just the idea of you know, being in an environment with a certain mindset and then revisiting that environment with a different mindset. And it just day and night, truly. And so that's where it was. And I feel like if you had shown me this movie right when I moved out of San Francisco, I would have hated it. But I'm sure that does play a factor into it, or that does play a role into it. But no, otherwise, like, I really do like the characters, the feeling, the horse races, you know, nuked up horses is crazy.
It's got nuked up horses.
That's nuts, man.
Not many Bond films can say that.
Yeah, it's
this
cool.
An Octopussy. That's it.
So yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's a good movie, and it tickled my fancy. And sometimes the answer is just, I like the movie. I just really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some life advice that you didn't ask for, listeners. If someone ever asks you why you like something, you don't have to answer. You can just say, I like it. That's enough of an answer. You never have to justify why you like something unless it's illegal and you're being questioned for it and it's like hurting other people, then maybe dig into that. But
when
if
it comes
like,
to James Bond stuff.
Yeah, but if it's like, ooh, I like to collect wooden dolls, like, oh, great, I'm stoked for you. That's awesome. Does it affect me? Not whatsoever. If someone's like, why? You say, because I like it. And that's, you don't owe anybody an explanation for anything that you like. Again, that isn't illegal and isn't harming anyone. All right. Before we get into my rejects, I'd like to hear your top five.
Okay. I didn't know we were doing rejects, too. But
well, not rejects. I guess we can touch on the ones we didn't.
You did say you have a lot to say about some of the other ones.
I can keep it short, because, I mean, most of it is, I don't remember, so. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know, once again, just to reiterate, top five of the Bond movies we've covered so far in the show, and I'm going by, like I said, ones that like kind of formulate me a bit more, my personality, my interests, my likes, but also, you know, comfort, rewatchability, memories, nostalgia, all play big factors. And my number five spot was really hard. So I am going to have like an honorable mention, but they are like neck and neck. You catch me tomorrow, I could say, you know, the opposite, but, as the honorable mention, I'm going to say Quantum of Solace.
Five Will Goes West.
A remake of Five Will Goes West. Now, Quantum of Solace, I have, you know, a lot of significant memories with. I saw it during my formidable years in the cinema, and I loved it, and I do love this movie. And I've said it before, and it kind of is the same point of my number five, but I just love Unwanted Things, and Quantum of Solace does get poo-pooed on by a lot of people, but a lot of people in the fandom, and I don't know, that makes me like it a little bit more as I push my hipster glasses up.
That's why you love me so much. Unwanted Things.
Unwanted, ugly, stinky things.
Farting, nose-picking things.
Yeah. A.K.A. Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
You know, I've said the story, you know, even recently on the show, but I won't get into it. You know, if I get a new sound system, like this is the one I always test with, or I'm showing off our TV and the sound bar, it's always Quantum of Solace. You know, I love the score. I love the plot and the fashion of this movie. It's something I like. That's the kind of escapism. It's like, I don't have that stuff. I want that stuff. So I'll just watch that stuff. I do love Quantum of Solace for a plethora of other reasons, but it's going to stay honorable mention, which is tough, and I'll change my mind later. But the big factor which flipped it for me is, for my number five, is comfort, like coziness, and rewatchability, or rewatched, I should say. Not saying my number five's more rewatchable, it's just more rewatched in my life, which is A View to a Kill.
Ah!
Oh my God. She reacted like, hey, that's me. Anyway, A View to a Kill. Quantum of Solace is not one I watch often. Yes, I showcase it. Yes, I think fondly of it, and I do love it when I watch it, but it's not one I pop in to fall asleep to. It's not one I haven't even watched it to completion in years and years. I'm kind of savoring the flavor because we're going to a Quantum of Solace viewing here pretty soon. But A View to a Kill.
We're going to Quantum of Solace viewing pretty soon. Anyways.
I was actually trying not to burp. I was like stifling air in my throat.
I've just never seen you talk like that. I was like, you okay? What's going on?
Sorry. View to a Kill is one I watch often. I pop it in. I find it very comfy, cozy. I've mentioned also recently, you know, something like You Only Live Twice is one I probably watch the most throughout the year. But A View to a Kill is probably number two. Like, it's right up there, maybe three. But I see it a lot. Mm. It's in my life a lot. It lulls me to sleep a lot, which, you know, you have to have a lot of security and something to that.
That's right.
Let you do that. Have Roger Moore kiss me on the lips as I go to sleep. But all the things you've mentioned, I feel the same way about. I love the villains. I love the zaniness. I love the gooey cheese pizza that movie is. That gooey clam chowder in a bread bowl, you know. I enjoy that.
Soaked bread.
That's my stripper name. And I find a lot of fun with it. And like I said, I like unwanted things. It's usually ranked pretty low for a lot of people. It's not like I seek those out. Like, which one do people hate? It's more like I just like it. And then the fact that I find out that others don't, I'm like, well, you know, that kind of makes me want to champion something more.
Yeah, it's like the underdog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, it's like, it's mine, you know?
It's all mine. What was that? I'm going to move on. My next one, whoop, someone honked a horn. My next one.
That's me. I farted.
God. This one, that's all the bodily functions. I'm going with The Man with the Golden Gun next.
It's like we're married.
It's like we're married or something. We are on the same frequency with a lot of things. I do have some different ones here.
Yeah, we like each other enough, you know? We like each
Yeah, this one's zany. It has a great villain. I love the clothes Roger Moore's wearing in this one in particular. But it has Sheriff J.W. Pepper in it.
It does. I forgot about that. Yeah. That makes it even better.
It has one of the coolest stunts in the whole Bond series with the Yeah. If you know, you know. The score. I really love the score. I actually listen to that one, you know, every now and then too. And this one gets also a lot of watch time throughout the year. And as far as lulling me to sleep. So I find a lot of comfort and coziness with The Man with the Golden Gun. And you know, it has to do also with that prop. The Golden Gun itself. You know, a lot of memories playing that GoldenEye 64 growing up. You know, the Golden Gun was a very coveted item. Do you know what it did if you got the Golden Gun?
You could point down.
Some say you could even point up, too.
What was it?
If you got the Golden Gun in the video game and you shot somebody with it, it was a one-hit kill.
Ah.
You could shoot them in the foot, they would
look down. That's so much better than being able to point down.
It's like dogs can't look up.
Finally.
So yeah, there are a lot of memories of like Golden Gun mode and, you know, playing with your friends and stuff. And then even like putting in the cheat code and having the Golden Gun throughout the campaign of the game, the story mode, and just going through them.
What's the cheat code?
You just had the Golden Gun. It wasn't a gun you could get in the story mode. So the cheat code was, hey, you have it in like the first level and you can just.
Well, what's the code?
It was, you would either put in the Game Shark and it just was, you know, like unlocked feature, hidden feature. You just turn it on.
Okay.
Or,
You can tell I didn't play video games. When you, like, what's the code?
When you beat the game in like 00 mode, which is like the hardest, you could unlock cheats and you just turn it on. It's like a cheat menu and it's like DK mode on, paintball mode on. Interesting. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was like GoldenEye video game. Whoopsie.
That's fun.
And, you know, there's plenty more to say about the Man with the Golden Gun, but for now, that's going to be my number four. My number three is I love Roger Moore, apparently. He is my second favorite Bond, but it is Live and Let Die. I'm a Live and Let Die guy, even though it is, you know, it is very spicy. I always watch it, you know, with the scope of it was a product of its time. But it feels so different than any other Bond movie, and I appreciate it for that. It was the first Bond movie I watched that wasn't a Pierce Brosnan movie. So growing up, I saw GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, World's Not Enough. And then I saw something different, which was Live and Let Die. And it was so starkly different. Had Baron Samedi, who was in that GoldenEye video game. That GoldenEye video game has a lot to do with, you know, why I like this and why I like that. Mm-hmm. It's very nostalgic. A pillar of my Bond fandom. But so when I saw, like, he's in that movie, it just made me like it so much more. And I love the plot. I love the characters. Solitaire is one of my favorite Bond helper ladies.
Yes. Yeah. The technical term.
Yeah.
The industry term.
You know, even recently we went and saw some of the Bond locations in New York City,
mm-hmm.
Which was great. So my love for this movie just keeps growing and growing. There is a caveat, and it just shows like how much I do love that movie. It's not one I rewatch often. I kind of covet it. So I watch it kind of sparingly.
It's very precious to you.
It's very precious to me.
Yes.
But I do enjoy it quite a bit. The theme song's one of my favorites, too. I'll listen to that all the time. But yeah, that's my number three, which was hard to do. Because at one point in my life, I said that it was my number one. You know, I don't need to go on this whole rant. It was a very short time, but, you know, it was GoldenEye. Then it was Live and Let Die. Then it was probably Goldfinger. And it was Goldfinger for a really long time. But yeah, Live and Let Die has always been in my top. And, you know, I was ranking my movies, not this list that we're talking about today, but, you know, I'm like letterboxed. I made a list of like my top Bond films. And as I was looking at it, you know, a movie like Live and Let Die was like my number six or seven. And, you know, kind of spoiler alert, but you'll see what I mean here in a moment. My number two was like Casino Royale. And I was looking at this list. I'm like, this list doesn't feel like me. I am ranking it based on like, you know, quality and enjoyment, but there's the other factors too. And I needed to like readjust my list quite a bit on Letterboxd. Actually, I didn't. I just made a whole new list. And it's literally called like James Bond rankings that are me.
You should date them. So you know.
Yeah. But anyway, Live and Let Die is number three. My number two is You Only Live Twice. Margot touched on a lot of those points of why it's so good. It is a travel log. Great sets from Ken Adam. Some of my favorites in any movie, really. Iconic as far as, you know, the villain Blofeld and his look and portrayal. You know, Sean Connery gets dogged on quite a bit, as in like he looks bored in this movie. I never really felt that way. I see it, I guess, if you could convince me like he looks bored there. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. But I also know the behind the scenes stuff. I really like him in this movie. I love Little Nelly. And Tiger Tanaka is one of my favorite Bond allies. You know, Kissy Suzuki is not one of my favorite Bond helper ladies. But, you know, the score is so gorgeous. And it like kind of travels with you throughout this whole movie, as a score should do. But this one feels, it hits real good. And yeah, I also said I frequent this movie, probably more than any other Bond movie, and there's something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I do enjoy it so much that I at least look upon it often throughout the year. I was watching it last night, in fact. but yeah, so You Only Live Twice is my number two, no pun intended. And my number one, I've said it a million times on this show, and I think it will never change unless Bond 26 does something real crazy, but it's GoldenEye. Mm. You know, that video game for sure. It was the first Bond movie I ever saw, but when, like, my frequency points for, like, things I love in movies, GoldenEye just hits them all. And, you know, it is a product of the 90s, and I don't know, I just love it for that. So, you know, my favorite Bond girl, my favorite hench person, my favorite Bond lair, my favorite James Bond actor, and my favorite portrayal of his. I just love GoldenEye so much. And, you know, it is a popular choice, yes, to say, like, GoldenEye is one's favorite or in their tops, especially people of our era, I suppose. But, like, who grew up specifically with that game, it does have a lot to do with how people feel about James Bond, for sure. But it's, you know, just my journey with that movie. You know, it was my favorite, then it wasn't for a really long time, and then it just, like, bonked me on the head. Like, hey, look at me. I'm your favorite now. I'm like, yes, yes, you are. And it always will be. You know, it's very precious to me, as yeah. we just said. I love GoldenEye, and it will always be my number one favorite Bond film.
Well, I think we should wrap up on that. That was just a beautiful, beautiful narrative.
We got to talk about the ones you hate.
I don't hate them, except for one. No, I think that was lovely. I think we should end on that positive note. Because, you know, they didn't make the cut because they didn't vibe with me. And that's all there is to it. I don't hate any single one of them. I give a big reaction because it's so funny. But I do think that what I really want to take away from this episode and what we're talking about is no matter what we're watching, we're going to like something. You know, I feel like this wasn't difficult to do, but it wasn't easy either. Because looking at all these, there were points and things that I appreciated in all these movies. Maybe except the exception of one, but that's okay. No, I take that back, actually, because even in the one that I don't know, you know, like I'm looking at all these.
Didn't vibe with as much.
Yeah, I didn't vibe with as much. I just, you know, I can see something I like, and it's not fair for me to just be like, here's why I didn't like them. Like, who cares? It's fine. I want to know what you like. You want to know what I like, and here's what I like. And you just, it was a melody of words that you provided for us, and I think that is just a perfect place to step out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess wrap up, but like pointing it back at you, because mm-hmm. this was the road so far, our top five favorite Bond films that we've covered so far here on A Good Squeeze. You know, what state are you in as far as like the James Bond movies? Because when we started, you know, you felt they were very spicy, and you've changed, as yes. you said. So, like, where are you at now as far as, like, looking back retrospectively on these movies, but also looking ahead at the ones you haven't seen yet?
So, my big change in mindset is these are gentlemen's films, and, you know, men want to be him, women want to be with him. Now, for the women who don't want to be with him, what does that leave you, you know? You don't want to be him. You don't want to be with him. And if that's the whole selling point, what draw do you have to these movies? And the more we watch him, the more I'm understanding it's not just that. That's the big pitch. But if you can eliminate that from your brain and just go in as like, I enjoy movies. If you like movies, if you don't like movies and you're like more of a show person in general, this isn't the podcast for you. But if you like movies, watch the movie. Just watch it. You're going to find something you like. And if you don't like it, that's okay. It's not the whole franchise as a whole that you need to start knocking on. You know, it's like Star Wars. You can like 4, 5, and 6, and you can dislike the other ones. You can dislike 4, 5, and 6, and you can like the new ones. You know,
if you can.
If you're into that, you know. But it's one of those things where, like, that's kind of the mindset I had to shift away from that polarity of, like, good or bad. And it's impacted a lot. You know, I feel like I could revisit a lot of these movies now and have a different mindset. Maybe it could climb up my ranking. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I do think people's Bond rankings are based in feeling more than critical analysis or whatever. And until you have that feeling, you're not really ever going to understand that ranking for yourself. And you don't even need a ranking. I'm just kind of forced to do it. No, I'm joking. But it's... you know, it's something that I'm learning about the Bond fandom. You eliminate what people are telling you about it. Just go in and enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, that's okay. There's other movies in this franchise that you can enjoy. So I am excited. I miss doing a movie. We haven't done a movie in a while. It's been a month, but, you know, whatever. That's a long time. I'm used to us doing back-to-back movies, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So this... It makes me excited to watch a new movie. I'm excited to see more of the Pierce movies. I'm excited for this new one that's going to be coming out. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's going to come.
2 years.
2 years.
Maybe.
Maybe. You know, it's going to be interesting once we are done with the movies, watching them for, you know, reviewing them for that first round. How are we going to revisit them? Mm. Is it going to be through the literature? Is it going to be rewatching the movies? Is it going to be remaking every movie shot for shot remake? Us. That's our big break. So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about the road so far. There's been a lot of evolution. Like I always say this, I'd rather like something than dislike something. And I'm happy that I like this now. So, yeah. What about you? What's your reflection on the road so far?
Well, that's where I wanted to put the stake in, because this was checking in really with you, the road so far.
It's all about me.
Yes. And what I'll say is, you know, my sentiments exactly what you said.
You love me?
I love you.
I love you.
I do.
I do.
And I love that you're... I love that I'm sharing this with you, and have been able to do so for as long as I have, but as long as we have. Mm-hmm. And now this isn't my thing that I'm sharing with you. It's this thing that we're sharing with each other. And on that note, let's wrap her all up. We got dinner to make.
I'd love to hear our listeners' favorite episodes of the movies we've reviewed so far.
Yes.
You know, no one's going to tell us. No one's going to tell us. No. I always say, come on, guys, comment in the comments. No one ever comments. No one ever does.
Now that you have, is the word goaded? Now that you goaded them on?
Goaded them on?
Egged them on?
They won't do it. They're not going to do it. I know they're not going to do it. Even if I'm like, but you're too scared, they're not going to do it.
Prove Margot wrong. Put in the comments your top five favorite Bond movies of the 13 we've covered so far here on the show. They're not going to
do it. I know them, okay? No, I'm joking.
You can hear us in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. If you want to listen on, you know, the old URL, Audio Boom, had a good squeeze. So. Yeah,
and I do believe you can leave a comment in every single one of those. But, you know, who am I to tell you what to do? And you can also find us on Instagram, and only Instagram, where my husband, my powerful, handsome husband, he posts.
I'm like your Bond helper lady.
He's my Bond, or my Bond helper man.
Bond buddy guy.
Posts life updates and, you know, sorry, I'm like blanking. You know, certain Bond squeezed stuff that we do, how we squeeze a little bit of James Bond into our everyday lives. This is the worst pitch for the wonderful work that you do on Instagram.
We got stuff on Instagram.
He puts pictures and videos. Where August posts episode updates, life updates, tailored, beautiful, original content that he creates for the Bond lover and the Bond squeezer like ourselves. And you, my precious, precious listener. So yeah, so find us on Instagram, only Instagram. And on that note, Right? I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
And this has been
a good squeeze.